Good morning, Encounter. How are we doing? Fantastic. My name's Danny. I'm on staff here. And whether you're new and joining us first time, glad you're here. Whether you're just curious about faith and this whole Jesus thing, glad you're here. And for those of you that are just here for the free gift later, glad you're here as well. Today is a fun little day. We call it a Hallmark holiday. It's Father's Day, and there's nothing to joke about the role of fathership, but in today's message, what I want to do is I want to invite us to two words, invitation and response. And in those two words, what I'd like to explore is just that important role of what does it look like when you do life together. Before we go there, let's talk about how dads are a lot more alike than we maybe agree or disagree on. So we're going to play another little game. There's no prizes this time, I apologize. But let's play a little game. We're gonna do never have I ever, but here's how we're gonna play it. If I say never have I ever and you have done it, it counts for you. So just start with five fingers up, okay? We'll go finger down if you get this or not. These were not written by dad, so we'll see what's in store for us, okay? So first one, never have I ever bought my child a present that I secretly wanted for myself. I'm guilty. Never have I ever intentionally pretended to sleep while the baby cries just to see my partner get up to take care of the baby. Okay, I'll confess, maybe. Never have I ever sniffed my child's butt in public. We are all guilty of that one as dads, okay? Never have I ever jammed out to Taylor Swift in the car with my kids. Oh, I've done that for sure. Never have I ever played Pretty Pretty Princess. All the girl dads just got called out on that one. It was just fantastic. Fatherhood's really this unique space, right? We go from enjoying life and holidays and adventures to enjoying life, holidays, and adventures with our kids and, big and, getting to learn how our kids are wired and what adventures in life they enjoy and figuring out a way to do that together. And this idea of invitation and response, a lot of fatherhood and following Jesus is an invitation. Think about it. When our kids would go, hey, dad, will you play with me? That's an invitation. Hey, dad, can we go to a football game? That's an invitation. Hey, dad, can we watch a movie? Invitation. Hey, dad, can I have 20 bucks? Invitation. Often denied, but it's still an invitation, right? And we think about these invitations in our lives, like as a dad, I always wanted my sons are 21 and 20, to have a broader picture of the world. Like anything we did, what we gave our time to, what does it look like to expand what it looks like to risk with Jesus? And what does it look like when we say yes to something that it's worth our time intentionally, that there's a purpose behind it? When my kids were around like preschool, kindergarten, I was really easy to get them to say yes if I offered going to a coffee shop or a frozen yogurt place. It was always an easy yes, especially like 30 minutes before bedtime. There was an ecstatic yes at that point. But going for a bike ride to play at a park, there was a yes. When we were in Southern California, we had a little 8x12 cement patio out back. And I said, hey, what if we just build a clubhouse on this 8x12 cement patio? And boys were like, absolutely, let's do it. And yes, they learned how to use all the power tools on those weekends. But also, there's an invitation when my kids were 8 and 9, my wife and I, we led a mission trip to Uganda to visit one of our global partners. Yeah, I was a dad that brought my 8 and 9-year-old on that international trip. And we had a fun little story. There's more to it, but essentially there was a season where we allowed our sons to plan a family vacation top to bottom, all the details. We said, here's the budget, you can plan it. And in 2018, our youngest planned our trip to Iceland. See, I think when we invite people to do something, we're inviting to an adventure. We're inviting to how do we celebrate life and do this together, because when we invite people into our space, we're essentially gifting them time. And time is a commodity. We all would agree it's valuable. There's an expense to it. And when your expense is actually an investment into one another, people acknowledge that and see that, and especially, I think, those in our home. And when we think about inviting our time, when we think about inviting people to something and we give of our time, part of us as followers of Jesus is like, what is Jesus inviting us to? And how do we explore that together? And today, when we think about invitation and response, I want to look at a snapshot in the Old Testament with two characters, Moses and Joshua, about this invitation and response. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the overall narrative of the Bible, don't worry, I'm going to give you a quick overview, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are the first five books of the Bible known as the Torah in Jewish communities. And by the way, if you ever need to know how to pronounce Deuteronomy, just say, dude, you're onto me. Works every time. I had a middle schooler teach me that way back in the youth ministry days. It's fantastic. So you got the Torah, you got the Jewish, the first five books of the Bible, often known as the law. And you see characters show up in this known as Abraham, known as Isaac, known as Jacob, and we can draw that line all the way up to Jesus. And so for us that believe in Jesus, we actually connect that Jesus being fully Jewish, fully God, fully man, is connected to this moment, this Abrahamic covenant. And it's really, really critical. For some of us, we geek out on that. For others, here's the TLDR, too long did not read moment of it. It's really this. We believe in a deep conviction that God from day one has been saving his people and he will always want to save his people. And there's people along the way that he raises up to declare that message. So as you look at Moses and Joshua, I'm going to give a couple context moments, and then we're actually going to jump into another key moment for the day. But I want to do a little setup so we're all on the same page. So there'll be verses up on the screen. I'm going to poke at a couple of them a little deeper. The first one is Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24. Verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for the instructions. This is the moment where the Ten Commandments are given from God to Moses for the children of Israel. Verse 13. So Moses rose with his assistant, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur who are with you, whoever has a dispute, let them go to them. Joshua is with Moses when we receive the Ten Commandments. Next one, you're going to go to Numbers, chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 24. In this plot line, Israel's been wandering in the desert for a little bit. And in Israel wandering for the desert, they've been grumbling. They've been frustrated. They've even said, hey, it'd been better for us to stay in slavery back in Egypt or than have to be wandering in the spot. So Moses rallied elders, other men that would actually help give wisdom and direction. So that's the context that we're going to step into. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on the elders, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Essentially, they were given the ability to prophesy when they needed to in moments of wisdom. Now, two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad, the other named Medad. If you're worried about kids' names, just skip these. Don't even put them in the database, okay? And the spirit rested on Eldad and Medad. They were among those that were registered as elders, but they had not gone out to camp. They had not gone out to the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran to Moses. Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, says, my Lord, Moses, stop them. Joshua's mind, something isn't right here. They're not doing it the right way. It's not how everybody else is playing along. This is not how God set it up. And Moses just says, are you jealous for my sake? What that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on all of them. Moses is giving Joshua a chance to learn, hey, just because it works this way, this time doesn't mean that works that way all the time. And Joshua, it's okay, just calm down. God's up to something, we're good with it. The last one is Numbers 14. Joshua was one of the 12 leaders from the various tribes that Moses sent into what's known as the land of Canaan. This land that Israel had been told by the Lord, you will inherit. This will become your permanent dwelling place. Joshua and Caleb come back going, we've got this. We can take the land. The Lord's with us. But the other 10 spies are like, nah, that's big people over there. We cannot take them on. Let's just keep wandering in the desert with no end in sight. That was their perspective. This is what's recorded. Starting in verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their robes. It's a visual of frustration in this moment. They tore their clothes and said to the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with them. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them. Here we go, Joshua having a moment where people wanted to stone him. And Moses is with them in this time. The proximity that Moses gave Joshua in these moments and so many others, this is just a slice of their interaction together, was really about giving Joshua the opportunity to see this is what happens when God does miracles. This is what happens when there's rebellious thought and yet we can still follow the Lord. This is what happens when we don't know what's really going on, but we're going to still trust that God has something for us. It was a gift of time. It was a gift of proximity. It was a gift of experiences that opened Joshua's person and mindset to all that God is up to. Pause that. Hey, dads, how often do we view gifting our time to our kids as a great opportunity? How often do we take our time in our week and we go, man, I can't wait to gift my kids time this week? For those of you that are in that newborn, early stage, your gift to your kids is just your presence. Science shows us on a bio-neurological level the bond that's formed. That is a gift. Do not stop. For those of you that are in that early elementary school, late preschool, the gift of your time to your kids and stepping into their world of imagination and play gives them the freedom to play and be kids. To those of you that have kids in that late elementary, early middle school, your gift to your kids to remind them that deodorant and showers are great for social gatherings is so critical for the rest of us. For those of you that have middle schooler and high schoolers and all the changes that they're going through and their world is colliding, your gift to them is like, hey, you're not a finished product yet and you've got this. And for those of you that may be in my stage where your kids are out of the house and adults, your gift is just being a friend of words of affirmation and encouragement in the season they're in. See, when we gift our kids time, what we say is you matter right where you're at. One of the ways that I really wanted to do this well with my kids when they were in that middle school, high school phase is like schedules are chaotic with both boys, super involved in sports and extracurricular activities, was I wanted to make sure that we had a meal in our week to where it was just a one-on-one opportunity and all I could do is listen to them talk. Was I bored sometimes? Absolutely. Did it matter to me? No, because it was about them. And see, when we think about gifting our time, what we remind our kids is they're loved, they're cherishable, they're valuable, they're significant, and that matters to our kids. In church family, when we think about spending intentional time together, when we think about spending time with people, inviting them into our space, when we're invited, we go into their space, there's this really fun word in the church, we call it discipleship. That when we collectively are following Jesus, and you're following Jesus, and I'm following Jesus, and we are all following Jesus, and we share those experiences, we get a chance to disciple one another. Discipleship's just another word for mentoring. When we think about in our church family, that we have kids ministry happening right now during this very service, that we have student gatherings that happen on Wednesday nights and throughout the summer, that when we meet during the week for our groups, we have moments that we're sharing time consistently over and over and over again. Why? Because we have a conviction that when we gather and we celebrate what Jesus is up to, we have people that are seasoned in their faith, and then we have people that are growing in their faith, and then we have people that are new to their faith, and we all learn from each other. Moses discipled Joshua. And my question to you, just out of curiosity, if you've called Encounter Home and you've been walking with Jesus for a while, who are you currently inviting into your space? Moses invited Joshua in. Joshua had all these experiences, which really led to a really specific moment. And that's actually where I want to camp for the rest of our time. So if you want to go to Deuteronomy, how do you say that? Some of you caught the joke. There you go. Okay, so if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 34, and if you grab the pocket Bible in front of you, for most of you, it'd be around page 169. This part of Deuteronomy, the last couple chapters, most scholars agree that it was written after Moses' death. It was recorded as a narrative, as a reminder of what happened. And Moses actually dies late in his age, over 100 years old. But Moses, in leading Israel through the desert and the wilderness, raised up other people, specifically Joshua. And there's this really defined moment that is brought in Joshua's life. It's Joshua 34, verse 9. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him. That's not throwing punches. Moses laid hands on him so that the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded. This phrase in Hebrew, laid hands on him, has a lot of different connotations, a lot of different visuals. One of them, you've seen us probably model it in our church, that when we pray over someone, that we will actually lay hands on them as a sign of unity around what we were asking Jesus to do. This phrase, laid hands on him, is also another way to say blessed him. Can you just imagine the power of this moment? That there's these witnesses, this entire community known as Israel at the day, that is saying, Moses, you've been our leader for so long, and all of a sudden now you're blessing, you're extending your leadership to Joshua, and we're to follow him, and we're good with it. How affirming, how powerful this moment must have been in the life of Joshua. And then for Joshua to feel the weight of here's my now responsibility. But yet it's really specific. It's really specific for Moses to take the time to acknowledge who Joshua is. See, this idea of blessing, this idea of communicating, saying words of truth and encouragement and affirmation is something we all need. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, when I've had someone stop me, slow me down, look me square in the eyes and remind me who I am, remind me of my gifting, remind me of my value, remind me of my influence, it does something to my inner being. And when I've extended that to others, especially in the space as a friend, as a dad, as a pastor, I visually have watched people's whole countenance change. Because we live in such an environment, and I think part of it's just our speed of life, that we get really good at getting confused at what we're supposed to be as opposed to who we really are. And in blessing moments, what we do is we look at someone and go, I want to remind you of what is true about you. As a dad, here's how I've tried to model this. When my kids were in elementary school, whether I walked them to school or I dropped them off, I got dad duty in the morning. I loved it. And I created a bit of a mantra for them. You can steal it. Just give credit where credit is due, okay? If you trademark it, I want in on that. But I would, before they got out of the car, I would say, eyes like a, and they would say leader. Heart like a, and they would say servant. Live like, and they would say Jesus. Eyes like a leader, heart like a servant, live like Jesus. Because early on, I wanted my sons to go, hey, how do you want to live your day thinking and seeing the world above you? Both of my sons loved being outdoors and adventurous in sports and were always doing stuff. The medical bills can prove that as well. But in doing stuff, one of the things that I have observed, both as a youth pastor, as a family pastor, and then as a dad, is sometimes our kids find self-worth from mom and dad and what they accomplish. And I wanted to remind them that I love them for who they are, not what they do. And I had the chance to coach both my sons in football when they were in high school. And before every Friday night, right after the national anthem, I'd lean in, I'd just speak in the hole right by the ear, and I would say, hey, remember, I love you for who you are, not what you do. And there's just those moments that as a dad, I wanted to claim that. My sons are in college now, and so one of the things I try to do regularly is on your message app of your phone, if you're an iPhone user, there's an audio, you can send an audio memo. I regularly will send my kids audio messages because I want them to hear my voice and remind them that, hey, I know you've got a tough week, you got a crazy week, I want to remind them I love and care for them. Hey, I know your boss is being completely unreasonable, and that's fine, like it is just a college job, you'll be okay. But I want to just take moments and remind them. And see, church family, you do this as well. You may not realize it, but when you gather in a group, when you gather on a Sunday, when you call somebody, when you reach out and you remind them of who they are and the value they have, it goes a long way. I don't believe we can ever overestimate or underestimate how powerful words can be. Because in this moment that Joshua is reminded, blessed by Moses, I want you to look at the same page you're on, or just turn one page to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is now this leader of an entire people group, getting ready to move into a land that is not theirs, that the Lord has promised to them. And many of you, if you're familiar with the narrative of Joshua and Moses, you'll recognize Joshua 1, 6 through 9, is that be strong and courageous. And so often we hear that as a charge the hill type message, but what it is a reminder of another blessing from the Lord. Joshua 1, 6. Be strong and courageous, Joshua, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. The Lord's reminding him of the legacy he follows of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Hey, Joshua, that same law that you saw come down from the mountain that I gave to Moses, you were there. That's the law I'm reminding you to follow. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then will you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Friends, strangers, if you're in this building right now, when you walk to your car, when you go to your home, when you go barbecuing this afternoon or run errands, what we believe is the God of the universe is with you wherever you go. Regardless of what you're facing, the weight decisions, the unknowns, the uncertainties you have, we believe that the resurrected Christ in his spiritual form is with you wherever you go. When you think about anything that is a hurdle in front of you, we believe that Jesus has got you, and the problem you see is actually not as big as you probably think it is, because there's this thing called the world that God is constantly moving in and around, and it feels really big to you. But Jesus is with you. And I cannot fathom for Joshua what it must have felt like to see all that he saw, to hear the words of Moses, and then to have the Lord remind him, before you go on to what's next, I got you. And I'm inviting you to be strong and courageous with your faith. I'm inviting you to respond to that. And that is where response comes in. We can be invited. We can invite others. But what is it? What is our response in those invitations? And I think it first comes as people that are curious about faith in Jesus and say, I want to respond well. When Jesus invites me to move, even though it feels unsettled, even though it feels risky, even if it feels new, I want to respond. And I want to do it in the midst of a group of people that are like me trying to follow Jesus, so that we together can share what's going on. I love the powerful moment of this. And in the power of the moment, let's just remind ourselves, Encounter family, we never come to a place that we have it all figured out. We never come to a spot that we go, hey, I know exactly how to follow Jesus, all the A's and all the Z's and everything between. No, we're constantly in transformation because God is always doing something new in us and through us. And when we invite people to that journey with us, guess what? We get to give them proximity that they may not have. For those of you that are dads in this room, let me just over-explain something. Your words have a weight and a power that you will never, ever, ever understand. And I can say that from my story and perspective. There's a weight that some of you dads carry in this room, and I know exactly where you're coming from, because I did not have a dad. The step in figure that I had wasn't worth it. And I've had to learn how to be a dad. So the concept of Father's Day is a redeeming concept for me. And some of you are also in that story. And let me just tell you this, you got it. One of the things that I have never tried to do Yes, I did bring Kleenex. One of the things that I've never tried to do is figure out if I have all the answers on myself. My oldest was 4 years old, and I had a gentleman look me in the eyes and say, "Danny, you're a good dad." And I said, "I don't know what that looks like." And so John Champion and I met every other week to talk about parenting. And John Champion turned into a Steve Buchanan. And Steve Buchanan turned into a Chris Stillman. And I've invited dads that I've respected how they parent and the relationship they have with their kids into my story to learn from them. And these are all men who love Jesus and gave me the perspective that I needed. And I'm thankful that my story has allowed me to do the same to others. And the weight of fatherhood is no joke. But the opportunity is a thrill of a lifetime. And it is no different than the invitation that we think about when it comes to investing in others around us. And as a church family, that's our opportunity every single week when we gather to be reminded of who this resurrected Jesus is and how our lives can be used to care for others in the journey together. Nobody in this room has got it figured out completely. Welcome to being human and in transformational process. But when we gather, we remind ourselves of what it does look like in a group and a gathering to say, we want to journey well. Dads, I want to tell you that if you do one thing throughout the season of your kid's life, regardless of what age and stage they're in, is show up with your words. Show up with encouragement and love and affirmation and encouragement and care and respect, and show up consistently however you need to. If it's on a phone, it's on a phone. If it's on an audio memo, it's on an audio memo. If it's get on a plane and go see him, get on a plane and go see him. Because for many of us, when we have that person show up that it's for us, it is a huge encouragement. And there's some of you today walking in your faith in Christ, you feel a weight that you don't know what is going on in life. It could be medical diagnosis, it could be family challenges, it could be career, it could be whatever. And you're like, where is Jesus showing up in that? And that's the beauty of this space where we want to know. And in fact, I would tell you that if you need a space to talk, you reach out to me or any other staff and we'll get you connected to us or someone else that'll sit and just go, man, we care so much about your story and what Jesus is up to that we want to be in it with you. This is not a perfunctional thing. This is not performance. We want to gather an authentic community and go, how do we journey together? And as we close, I got two questions that I'm going to just pose for you to think on and dwell on. If you call Encounter home, and you're saying, I follow Jesus, who are you inviting to journey with you? Who is it? Who are you inviting to journey with you? You may have that person already, maybe someone you're connected to, but if you've not taken that step to go, man, I want to journey with someone, and what does it look like to disciple and care? That is 100% of what the fun part about D4H this summer and in the groups in the fall is going to be about, is how do we gather and grow in our faith in Christ? And there's times where that one-on-one conversation is fantastic. So who are you inviting to journey with you? Second question. Are you willing to respond if you feel Jesus nudge you? Are you willing to respond if you feel Jesus nudge you? See, one of the postures we take as a follower of Christ is we actually believe that the resurrected Jesus still does miraculous, life-changing things. And it may be in little moments, it may be in scalable moments, but what we believe is he constantly is moving. And if you're willing to respond, tell him that. Just say, hey, Jesus, I'm willing to respond. And I believe that posture of just opening that up moves in a supernatural way. Here's what I know. I know in my story, Jesus has moved in a way that has been miraculous. Here's what I know in pastoring. Jesus has moved in people's lives that has been miraculous. Here's what I know from being human. We need each other. Moses invited Joshua to a journey. Joshua's response, yeah, and we have the narrative to remind us of it. Joshua was invited by the Lord to lead, and his response was, yeah, I'm going to lead. And that is the story of salvation we see time and time and time and time again through the scriptures. And it's why we gather here today, to remind ourselves that the resurrected Christ still moves in powerful ways. Let me pray. Jesus, I absolutely love when you utter the Lord's Prayer, you cry out, Abba, Father. And for some of us, that phrase and that word has to be redeemed in so many ways. But God, I believe that that's what you do. And as we, as a people that call you Lord and Savior, as we navigate life, we believe that we can be strong and courageous because you're with us every step of the way. And so Jesus, as we hear your invitation, we will respond. God, I believe that there's people in this room that have moments that are just feel weighty right where they're at. And I would just ask that you would remind them with a loud internal voice that says, I got you and you got this. Jesus, we believe that you move in powerful ways. And we want to continue to tell that story. Jesus, thanks for meeting us right where we're at, right when we need it. Amen.